our distinguished Prime Minister, Honorable Stephen Kim, who stepped out for a little while, the only king in the house, esteemed colleagues, members opposite, ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, fellow citizens at home and abroad. Let me say a pleasant good afternoon to each and every one of you. Madam Speaker, let me start by thanking the member from Miku North for a presentation. A presentation of a different.
Brother member, let me just remind members once again of my second announcement, that your contribution on the debate should be addressed to the House through the chair. I'm hoping that that's clear. Members of the public, listeners, that is out of order in the House. You address the House through the chair. That is.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, again, let me thank the member from Miku North for a presentation of a different. A presentation also from a woman's perspective. Very enlightened, Madam Speaker. But, Madam Speaker, I rise today to give unconditional support to the 2009-2010 estimate of revenue and expenditure as articulated by the Honorable Prime Minister last Friday. The programs, the plans, the ideas contained therein are strategically developed to generate growth, Madam Speaker, to provide jobs, to secure salvation, while simultaneously protecting the vulnerable among us amid a tidal wave of massive economic downturn. Madam Speaker, let me take a few moments to address some of the things highlighted by the Prime Minister. Madam Speaker, real and purposeful development and change geared towards improving the lives of Saint-Lucians will not only come about merely from fountains of politically charged oratory, like we have heard from the other side. Such language, Madam Speaker, poisons the fruits of hope that we are trying to provide, contaminates confidence, disrupt sustainable development and fight against social change. We on this side, Madam Speaker, are here as a committed government to discharge our duties which we took an oath to do. And we thank God that we are trying our best to keep the promise to our electorate. Madam Speaker, it seems to me a barren thing that disappearing from the House of Assembly on Friday, an unhappy crossbreed, the mere politics that achieves nothing. What were they trying to score? Madam Speaker, the chisels for carving out a better tomorrow are grounded in the diligence in our determination as a government. The times are hard, but we are focused, and we are deliberate in our approaches and strategies to bring hope, so that we can cope with the floodgates for the current global economic crisis that threatens to engulf us. Madam Speaker, this budget is built on a platform of a clear vision backed by pragmatic plans calculated to give a tremendous feeling of confidence and personal power. Let us pick out an assessment of the Prime Minister's presentation. Tells us a lot of things. But Madam Speaker, to correct any situation, you must first identify the problem. There is no doubt that the Prime Minister of this country, of this government, did identify the problem. And we all agree that the Prime Minister said that there is a crisis. But Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister has not raised his hand or remained what I say. He has taken a holistic strategic approach in this budget to confront this crisis head on and to bring a measure of relief to the people of Saint Lucia. In this budget, he has taken a top-down, not just bottom-up approach. He has not only used figures to further complicate the situation, but he is strategic, Madam Speaker, in his approach, while at the same time putting in some immediate and short-term measures to bring relief. On page 2 of the budget, Madam Speaker, he spoke of the theme, generating growth, securing jobs, promoting competitiveness, and protecting the vulnerable citizens in the face of this global recession. Madam Speaker, he went through a whole list and showed us how we're going to achieve that. But Madam Speaker, he did not only paint a picture of where we want to go, but rather indicated that since the government was elected, we have exercised fiscal prudence in our spending and of our management of the economy. One area, Madam Speaker, that has been given much attention is the issue of debt. I'm not going to go through this. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister did clearly articulate and identified that the budget is not just about the estimates of revenue and expenditure, but must be firmly rooted in the objectives, the strategies, plans and programs designed to address the context and circumstances facing this country. He then set out the seven priorities for the budget and the medium-term agenda, and they are listed, there are about 9 of them. Let me just go through 1 or 2. Well, given the current economic situation, the first priority is to stimulate the economy. Secondly, we must ensure that the financial sector is in good health and effectively regulated. And I can go through the list, but 9, the last priority is reform of the public service and operations of government departments. Madam Speaker, this is a thinking Prime Minister. This is a working government. And the work is in progress, Madam Speaker. I am heartened by the fact that high on the Prime Minister's agenda is generous. This we will get to down the road. Madam Speaker, let me now turn to the business of the Ministry of Labour, Information and Broadcasting. Because in this budget, in this particular presentation, I do not want to focus on issues of rationale, of debt, of deficit, of cost overrun. I certainly cannot talk about the Commission of Inquiry. So, Madam Speaker, I will proceed to present what we have done at the Ministry of Labour, Information and Broadcasting. Madam Speaker, My ministry discharges the key function associated with one of the fundamental and critical aspects in the process of production. Madam Speaker, that of labor. As a government, we recognize the importance of a stable industrial relations environment and are committed to maintaining a well-managed industrial relations framework. To minimize this dispute affecting the level of service to the public, a few things have to be looked at. This is of particular importance in this time, tells Madam Speaker, because doing the wrong thing can cost us jobs that we so badly need. A stable industrial relation with climate, Madam Speaker, has important benefits for the general public and the public service itself. And some of us seem to be taking this for granted. As solutions, we all have to be concerned and should be eager to try and maintain the stable relations climate that we have in this country. Madam Speaker, these benefits include the provision of uninterrupted services, Madam Speaker, improved productivity and staff morale, increased public confidence and the maintenance of St. Lucia as a desirable location for foreign direct investment. What do you do if you try to disrupt the climate that exists? You are going to hurt not only the members sitting on this side, but you will be affecting the livelihood of all Saint-Lucians and even your children at school right now. Madam Speaker, our commitment as a government is to enable our people to earn their livelihood through freely chosen productive employment and other forms of work. This is an undertaking that all nations are grappling with as a crucial political, social, and economic issue at this time. Madam Speaker, the Department of Labor continued to carry out its mandate during the period under review, in ensuring that its customers receive satisfactory service and to keep its mission, which is to manage and maintain stability and harmony in the industrial relations arena. It is well known, Madam Speaker, that only against this background will investment be attracted and productivity maintained in this country. Madam Speaker, let us look at some key areas at the Ministry of Labour, Information and Broadcasting. Complaint settlement, Madam Speaker. This is one of the primary functions of the Labour Department, which involves responding to grievances because of employer-employee interactions. The report from the department revealed that it had a 92.5% settlement rate in this regard. Another area, Madam Speaker, is retrenchment. Madam Speaker, the economic squeeze of North America, Europe, and Canada can only to increase the rate of termination, especially in the tourist resort on the island. We have heard it, we have seen it. In most resorts, some employees were affected because of foreign visitor arrivals. In any case, the department ensured that it encourages businesses to keep termination as low as it could. And also, to pay several payments above the legislative rate if this was at all possible. Lectures, Madam Speaker, from the department. The department continued to take measures to encourage good working relations between management and staff. A number of employers have complaints ranging from low productivity to poor work ethic, to employers' inability to balance their rights versus responsibilities at work. And Madam Speaker, an attempt was made to meet with employers and employees by the department to see what help they could give in that respect. To ameliorate this unhealthy situation, the department held 29 lectures at the workplace for the last year, for the express purpose of engaging both management and staff. Those open to long discussions provided a springboard for parties to voice opinions or complaints within the framework of the legislation. Why, Madam Speaker? To correct misconceptions and arrive collectively at workable solutions. Such informative discussions paid dividends, and the employees and the employers reported on it. Employers have reported that many of the employees are now more aware of labor legislation and operate within a degree of responsibility. Indeed, Madam Speaker, in the coming budget year, the department hopes to improve in the quality as well as the quantity of this activity. If it's working, Madam Speaker, we have to try and continue it and increase it. Trade union polls, Madam Speaker. During the period under review, the department responded to 8 applications from trade unions for permission or certification to represent workers, or you can say to act as bargaining agents on behalf of these workers. Madam Speaker, what we saw happening outside of one of the banks over the last 2 days is a situation where the two parties are deadlocked, management and the union, and a settlement cannot be arrived at. Not as yet. Sometimes these things take a little time, and a little pressure has to be borne. Our statistics indicate that the National Workers Union was involved in all these recognition claims. The department continues to demonstrate its willingness to deal fairly with its constituents, i.e. trade unions, employees. Another aspect, Madam Speaker, conciliation. This process of conciliation is by no means an easy one, because when contending parties remain entrenched in the position, the result is a deadlock that can destabilize the workplace, or even an entire sector for that matter. And as I just explained, this is a situation taking place by one of our banks. During the period under review, we conciliated in 11 disputes, the majority of which reached settlement at our level. And I believe, Madam Speaker, this has been the only exception. This necessitated convening more than one meeting for most conciliation, which lasted for hours. In spite of this, the year under review saw very little industrial action. Let me move to another area, Madam Speaker, the labor pool. Madam Speaker, the labor code initiative started a long time ago. The goal was to put in place legislation which protected workers' rights, as well as the concerns of employers, on an equitable and harmonious basis. During the last election, Madam Speaker, we contended that this process was rushed because the opposition was trying to score cheap political points, and this created, in our view, mistrust between government and employers, which can only work to the detriment of workers and cause concern for potential investors. So we're calling Madam Speaker.
Honourable member for Beaufort North.
Madam Speaker, on a point of elucidation, the member for General South indicated that the labour code was rushed so that the last government could score cheap political points. I would like the member to provide evidence of that, if not, withdraw the statement. This is the Honourable House, Madam Speaker. Thank you.
Honourable member, would you like to respond?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I expressed an opinion. Okay, this is our opinion, Madam Speaker. Alright? This is an opinion, that's all it is. Madam Speaker, let me paraphrase Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, there is little hope for us until we become tough-minded enough to break loose from the shackles of political tribalism, half-truth and downright hypocrisy. That's the opinion also, just like we have expressed our opinion and the people of Sembusha did express the opinion when they created not a 9-11 but a 6-11. Madam Speaker, let it be known that the Governor General made it clear on page 19 of the full speech, section 8, when she said that this year the labor code would go through final stage. Can the leader of the opposition stop it? Let it be known that all discussions have been completed, consensus reached, and the labor code is coming to parliament this financial year. Another section, Madam Speaker, employment. What are we doing about employment at the Labor Department? First of all, Madam Speaker, as a Ministry of Labor, we are concerned about the recent dismissal of workers. And earlier this month, we established a registry of unemployed persons. This registry will assist the Ministry in designing programs geared towards creating employment to the unemployed, and will serve as a repository for firms wishing to identify persons for long-term and short-term employment. It will also serve as a ready source of information for the selection of persons for overseas employment. We also want to encourage employers to utilize the database to identify employment seekers for engagement in mentorship programs in the business places. We are also planning to retool and reskill such persons so as to empower them in these challenging times. Madam Speaker, the department spared no effort in this pursuit of overseas employment opportunities over the past year. After reorganizing its employment unit, it worked diligently at increasing returns of the Canadian Seasonal Farm Program. Last year, some 225 submissions workers gained employment on Canadian farms, the highest number on record. The process involved, Madam Speaker, interviewing applicants, processing of applications, counseling and motivational discussions, would also make great demands on the unit resources. Madam Speaker, there are on average on an average, officers spend one day each week in communities to make reference checks on potential recruits. This strategy reportedly has paid dividends. The unit is pleased to report that the gross earnings of Canadian $3.6 million from the program last year. Madam Speaker, the Department also took advantage of other programs in its efforts to explore additional employment opportunities. This proved successful, and an additional 36 individuals were employed in construction, warehousing, and trucking. This bonus program promises to be the most lucrative, hence in the coming year, the Department intends to place greater emphasis there. Mr. Speaker, work permit. The work permit unit will be strengthened through the addition of two monitoring officers who will be responsible for reporting, investigating, and carrying out work permit inspections to ensure compliance with the law. There is the need for monitoring as there are a number of foreign nationals operating without work permit on the island. Work permit officers in the field will provide an invaluable link between the ministry and employers. Madam Speaker, during the opposition, the leader of opposition presentation, he critically examined the revenues from work permit and asked a question. Why has the estimate of revenue gone down in that respect? Madam Speaker, these are difficult times. Sorry, Mr. Speaker. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, one of the reasons is the global economic situation. Another reason, Mr. Speaker, is the temporary cease operations of a number of construction sites on the island. Like we said, these are difficult times. The Le Paradis Hotel, Madam Speaker, that's from St. Lucia Limited, Madam Speaker. They had a lucrative deal with the previous administration where they were permitted to bring a certain ratio for the expat into the country. Now that they are finding it difficult to continue, obviously we cannot collect those revenues. Completion of Capital Zero, Madam Speaker, yes, but they had the same type of deal. Again, a ratio was given to them for expats on the project. There was a system of part payment that was made, Madam Speaker. In difficult times, it is difficult if you don't have a part payment system to collect the revenue. And we are looking into this. CCI, Madam Speaker, Consolidated Contractors Limited, again, they had a similar deal with a ratio. It means that they have a field. International implementation, Madam Speaker, of CSME, right of establishment, and also a deliberate attempt to try to preserve the few jobs available to solutions during this certain time. So these are the reasons, Madam Speaker. Mr. Speaker, for the very low projection. The way forward, Mr. Speaker. At present, the Ministry of Labour is not adequately resourced to carry out its mandate, taking into consideration the anticipated demand of the St. Lucian workforce. They knew that, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, sorry. And they did nothing. And like I said, they were trying to rush another court into office, into effect. Labour administration must get them in within the context of the new global economy. And the restructuring is an imperative if effective delivery of labour administration policy is to be realized. Mr. Speaker, again, especially with regard to the labour code, if you are going to implement the labour code, you must. You should have restructured the labour department. And we are in the process of doing just that, Mr. Speaker. A diagnostic study of the labour administration of St. Lucia was undertaken in 2004. Along with a review of the functions and organizational structure of the Department of Labor Relations. These studies, Mr. Speaker, conducted by the ILO, revealed that the Department of Labor Relations fell short of the functions required to bring its services in line with the core labor standards, particularly in the dynamic era of globalization and trade liberalization. The studies recommended that the urgent reorganization of the department take place. 2004, Mr. Speaker. And it is our responsibility now, and we are doing what we have to do to put the department in good stead. This initiative is designed to enhance the ministry's capacity for service delivery. The Labour Department must become a recognized source of public information on labour relations, working conditions, and labour legislation. The focus also will be staffing of the Labour Department to facilitate research, the production of labour market information, and manpower planning. As these responsibilities are lacking at this time. As a government, Mr. Speaker, we intend to do the following. So, I'm ready to answer your question, sir. Just a little more patience. One, the facilitation of professional development of the department employees and the encouragement of the part-time studies as far as it is necessary, as it is reasonably practical. Training, Mr. Speaker. Equipping the staff with the necessary skills. Vision, Mr. Speaker. Vision. Two, further strengthening of the department upon the administration of the labor code. We want to implement a labor code and the Department of Labor not ready to deal with its demands. Also, the circulation of the contents of this document in order to encourage compliance. Mr. Speaker, the Labour Code came through its final stages in the House. It had not even been circulated to the relevant parties, and that is a fact, Mr. Speaker.
But this gentleman is misleading the House, Mr. Speaker. The Labour Code was repeatedly circulated to all sectors. We sat at a meeting at the NIS building. They had copies of the Labour Code. Such is nonsense. If you have reasons to oppose the Labour Code, then say so. But don't engage in these lies. You're misleading the House. Bear and do it.
Mr. Speaker, the fact shows that when this labor code had to be brought to the table for consultation, all the relevant parties said they didn't have a copy of it. And that is a fact. Undisputed, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, that's right. the parties know better. Improving relationships with our social partners, number three, Mr. Speaker, so that a more cordial atmosphere is maintained, making intervention as early as possible in issues of disputes or grievances. Mr. Speaker, proactiveness. Number four, the continued pursuit of employment opportunities, both overseas and locally, so that existing overseas programs will be enhanced and others that show financial viability will be negotiated. Mr. Speaker, this is action. Action by a concerned government. Number five, Mr. Speaker, the creation of linkages with other agencies, all in an effort to help us achieve our mandate. For example, close alliances with the immigration department will enable us to arrest the situation of non-nationals working without the required permit. Six, Madam Speaker, and you can call five, Mr. Speaker, enforcement. Six, Mr. Speaker, a rekindling of our relationship with the International Labour Organization so that Convention will be up to date with its obligation under the ILO Convention. Action again, Madam Speaker. Let me go move now to the poverty issues and the minimum wage. I've mentioned the country poverty assessment, which was done in 05-06. The issues highlighted is that there are persons in jobs that pay very low wages, which provide little in the way of future for the future for workers and their families. Also, there is a widespread view that the wage standard is too low to live a decent life in this current economy, Mr. Speaker. Those persons belong to the vulnerable group and should there be an economic shock or natural disaster, they will be plunged below the poverty line. And this is what is happening now, Mr. Speaker. We have recognized that the minimum wage should help to protect this group of persons. Consequently, persons have been identified and nominated for the Minimum Wage Commission, and it is anticipated that they will actively begin the research and consultation in the new financial year. GIS, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, GIS provides a critical link between government and the public. The Government Information Service is charged with a noble but daunting task. Mr. Speaker, staff of GIS have to record the activities of government 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they are doing this in a deliberate way. And the department has several programs which I will just mention quickly. Safen Mutu, Refleshi, Kosipuro. If you want more information on these items, you can go to the government website. But that's not all, Madam Speaker. GIS is cognizant of the need to allow the public to participate in government. Also, it has a program called Nation Beat. Mr. Speaker, so far, this is a 90-minute program and affords the public the opportunity to call in and question government ministers and technocrats. So far this year, Mr. Speaker, Honorable Guy Joseph, Parliamentary Rep for Kashi Southeast, Honorable Ezekiel Joseph, Parliamentary Rep, the member for Babylon, and also also the member for Kashi Center have all availed themselves to members of the public for this program. Mr. Speaker, imagine we started with the Joseph, not the Pharaohs. As I address this honorable house, this program is being broadcast live to persons all over the world. The honorable member for Castries East sister must be watching at this point. Madam Speaker, over 350 press releases detailing activities undertaken by government and its agencies were posted on the website. The website, Mr. Speaker, also serves as a valuable medium to advertise government vacancies, consultancies, and notices. As a rich source of information, the website also provides information on staff orders and several pieces of legislation. The website address for the benefit of members, stlucia.gov.lc, www.stlucia.gov.lc. And when let me move to another area, Mr. Speaker, Radio Stlucia and check irresponsibility, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, our beloved RSL is in dire straits. This government has provided the station with $150,000 out of a request of $646,000 to help with immediate needs. The situation as of March 30, 2009, in relation to RSL's debt burden is as follows. A total of $2,076,235.60 RSL's debt. In 1998, the government of the day, the government of the Transition Labour Party, decided to corporatize RSL, making it into Radio Transition Limited. And in order to pay the workers who were made redundant, they took a loan of $1.7 million and left the burden all on RSL. To pay back this debt, Mr. Speaker, $17,000 per month. $17,000 per month has to be found by RSL each month. Consequently, Madam Mr. Speaker, RSL is suffocating. Mr. Speaker, a financial diagnosis of the situation shows that RSL is in a financial coma. We on this side, Mr. Speaker, firmly believe that a better financial life support system for our nation's station must be provided, even in these trying times. So I humbly appeal to our Prime Minister for the much needed assistance. RSL has more problems. RSL is in need of an electrical upgrade. And it is just a matter of time before Lucilet switch off the electricity on them. According to the report, failure to do so would result in the ministry asking Lucilet to withdraw their services. The building has not started due to a lack of funding. Mr. Speaker, the argument is simple. We cannot afford nor allow RSL to go up the air. Therefore, immediate assistance is required. Again, I'm making an appeal to the Prime Minister. RSL mandate. Madam Mr. Speaker, Radio Television mandate as a public broadcast station seriously impedes its ability to compete on a level playing field in the local market. Its programming is geared towards educating and informing the public, and whereas this type of program may not find popular favor among our now listening public, this responsibility is contained in the station's mission. Labor, the broadcasting environment, Mr. Speaker, there is much concern about the content of material on the airwaves and on television that passes as advertisements. There are numerous that it is stacked up next to each other, one behind the other, bumper to bumper, Mr. Speaker. We cannot allow sensual and seductive material that dwells on the periphery of excessive to pass as acceptable advertisement. In this regard, our broadcasting legislation will be examined to deal with this situation. Status of the broadcasting market. Additionally, Mr. Speaker, the market is currently saturated with other radio stations and media agencies competing for the same advertising dollar. The market is small. We only have 160,000 people. Mr. Speaker, as a result, we will seriously consider regulating the broadcast market. Let me move on. Mr. Speaker,
just a point of clarification. Is the minister talking about censorship?
The two questions, I wouldn't be able to answer questions at this stage, Honourable Member. I think you could direct to the Minister, and if he's willing to answer, that's okay, but at this stage I wouldn't entertain any questions like that.
Mr. Speaker, just a point of clarification, and just a point of clarification, whether the Minister is in the Honourable House that a system of censorship is going to be
Are you willing to answer the question or continue?
Sir, I've made my statement. I said, as a result, we will seriously consider regulating the broadcast market.
Okay, you could continue.
Mr. Speaker.
Continue, Member.
Continue,
Honorable Member for Cassidy. I've heard your question, and if it's not on a point of elucidation or on a point of order, I won't allow you to.
Point of order.
Okay, well, continue. Go ahead. Let me hear your point of order.
Thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, the point of order is that the minister should detail clearly, in my opinion, where he intends to go on the censorship, because this is a serious, change of policy. In terms of censorship regulation by the minister regulating the press, that probably means infringing on press freedom, etc.
Honourable Member for Katsuzi, if you follow the standing order, I've ruled that you said that you were asking a second question. It had to be completely different to the first one. I've ruled on the first one because the member actually explained what you were saying, and I asked him to continue. So can you continue, Member for the
Speaker? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You could interject, Member from Vivodno.
Mr. Speaker, on a point of elucidation, the Member for Denry South spoke to the issue of regulation. Regulation. I don't understand that term. I don't understand regulation of the broadcasting environment, Mr. Speaker. Can you explain regulation?
Member for Newport North, I have asked that the member for Cass and then not continue because you are asking a question and it is not a point of order. Can you continue?
Mr. Speaker, thank you.
Order. There's a member on the floor. Order. Member for Denis House, can you please continue?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I said we will seriously consider regulating the broadcast market. And we are talking about acceptable advertisements. Acceptable advertisements. Acceptable advertisements. Okay? Mr. Speaker. Madam Speaker. Before I go any further, Madam Speaker, I must inform this Honorable House that we need friends who understand our unique concern. Madam Speaker, we found friends in the Republic of China on Taiwan.
Honorable Member, you have 15 more minutes.
Madam Speaker, may I invoke standing order 3210 to ask that the member for Denry South give him another 15 minutes to complete this presentation.
That's all I need.
Honourable members, the question is that standing order 3210 be invoked to allow the honourable, the representative for Denry South, an additional 15 minutes to complete his contribution. I now put the question, as many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of the contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Please continue, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, members. Madam Speaker, we found friends in the Republic of China and Taiwan. I personally want to thank the ambassador, the government and the people of Taiwan for the support and assistance they continue to provide. Madam Speaker, they still work on the ground, Madam Speaker. They hold their head and the ball. A little work they see on the ground in the constituency. They hold their head and the ball. Me too, Madam Speaker. We on this side, we don't cry. We know the effects. And we know the benefits that are accrued to our constituencies. Madam Speaker, it is an honor to have the opportunity to represent the wonderful people of Denry South. And we're talking about Lime, Lakai, Delaid, Bajoli, Lapet, Swallow, Bomaigo, Ville de Lille, Oscano, Green Mountain. Madam Speaker, the people of Denry and myself, we are working together to bring hope and joy as we undertake numerous initiatives for the advancement and development of Denry. Madam Speaker, we are busy in Denry getting on with our comprehensive work program. For the year in review, we completed 4 footpaths in Lakai, 7 footpaths in Denry Village, 8 major drainage projects. We didn't really have to complain and show where this money went to, but the Denry people, they know. And incidentally, all the funds are channeled through the Denry Village Council. We know we are securing our environment in Jenu Village because we are taking care of the drain. During the year, Madam Speaker, we opened 3 roadways, one at Rakai, 2 in the north, 1 waterway. Innovation and extension of the multimodal center, and we undertook that in Sufra. Saving of the multimodal zones, completion of the first phase of the general community park. We completely renovated the general multimodal center. Renovation of all public facilities, and we have major tournaments in the village of Genoa, like the ST4 football tournament and the league of knockout, the ST4 basketball invitational tournament, ongoing ST4 cricket tournament. I assisted as best I could with other social and other community-related activities aimed at improving the community and the lives of the constituents. What did those projects do, Madam Speaker? The physical projects created direct benefits to the people in terms of job opportunities, improvement in the livelihood, community enhancement, and development, as well as environmental sustainability. But without stopping them, Madam Speaker, we have a vision. And let me tell you where we are going in this village. Having completed our program, Madam Speaker, I want to turn my attention to the strategic positioning, planning, and visioning of January and its people. We do not just talk, Madam Speaker. We have a vision that reaches beyond into the conception of what can be. Imagination, Madam Speaker. We don't just talk. Talk is cheap. We work. We show performance on the ground. That's right. All the time. Madam Speaker, you know, you can just remember the members opposite me. We are AF who just kept a lot of noise. This one is different. This one is cool as a cucumber. Calm and composed. That's right. Achieving as much as he can for the people of his constituents. The vision in general falls as follows, Madam Speaker. We are going to work at the relocation of the infant school. There is a road passing right through the middle of 2 wings of the infant school. This infant school, Madam Speaker, is also very old. And I know the world has been there, they have taken a look at the situation, and I know very soon the students will get relief. The establishment of a civic center at the current location of the infant school, Madam Speaker, to include government offices, wellness center, human resource center, etc. The establishment of a daycare center that are replacing the current house at the multiple center. The young people of Delhi, Madam Speaker, they need a place to hold meetings, they need a place to have indoor games. The community center was taken away from them, and now only court activities taking place there. The multiple center they cannot make full use of it because the daycare is now housed at that institution, at that place. And we must bring an end to this. So a new daycare has to be built in that constituency. The Delhi football field, Madam Speaker, will be turned into a mini stadium with lighting and a 400-meter track. The old Delhi police station to be demolished and transformed into High Street Mall. It's a comfort station, best terminal, concession booth, shops and office space, and deck for ocean view. The Delhi waterfront enhancement would be enjoyed at this place. As a former athlete, Madam Speaker, it is my intention that once we organize our sporting facilities, that I would have to lend my services in coaching and produce the necessary athletes that would give us medals at games such as the Canister game. Just settling down. Madam Speaker, in my Christmas message, I apologize to the people of Lafayette, the road users, and the nation at large for the appalling conditions of the Lafayette road. The Prime Minister during his visit in April, or was it March of 2009, said that the situation would be rectified. I'm horrified by this situation. The minibus drivers and other road users cannot take it anymore. I'm calling on all those responsible for making this happen to put down the bag of grains. We need it now. We cannot wait anymore. Madam Speaker, this year we keep our feet on the pedal. We intend to undertake the development of the general community park. And we are trying to put in a children's playground in there. The fencing of the general secondary and primary school to improve security. We will continue on the Green Mountain and over the bridge road. The drains have been completed. Now it's a matter of getting the estimated cost of running the 4-inch water main, and then after that we will secure the surface of the road. The development of the White Rock General Road, which is estimated at a cost of about $189,000, and we also want to run 4-inch mains in that area. Relief to the people of Upper Wajoli, who have been without cover roads for some time now. Let me assure them that relief is coming, and SJ said so. We will explore the possibility of a road on the ridge at Lafayette to further enhance our tourism potential and to provide access to persons who live in that area. Lakai and Lime, Madam Speaker. On the Lakai inner road, drains have already been completed to protect homes from surface runoff, as well as to provide safety and comfort, thereby protecting properties. Madam Speaker, that current place was deplorable, despicable, and the people were miserable. They have now gotten relief. Last year, while we were constructing the drains along the Lakai Inner Road, we encountered some rusty water mains, which had to be removed. Since then, the constituents in the area had to endure months of water shortages. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to report that we now have work taking place on the ground. The pipes are now currently being run. 4-inch main, that is, that will provide fire hydrants again. We're putting everything up to standard. As soon as this is done, we will be taking care of the road surface. Madam Speaker, I wish to take up this opportunity to thank the people of Lakai for the level of tolerance. During all these months that they had to remain without water. In the Lakai Lima area, community center and track will be established, what will commence on the short link road between the daycare and the inland reception depot. And we will make this road more travel. The road will also be constructed to reach the summit of Lima. The old Lakai police station will be transformed into a community resource center. Discussions with the Mutual Social Development Fund have been initiated to achieve this goal. We are working from the Sabrusa Social Development Fund to complete the multiple spot. They will undertake the resurfacing, refencing, and the lighting of the court. And the Delhi Village Council will do the dressing room. Obviously funded by our friends, the Taiwanese Embassy. The new village. There is much work to be done at the Daito in terms of expansion on the national plan. However, the fencing of the Daito will be undertaken this year. Again, we are going to use funds from our good friends to do this. Madam Speaker, it is indeed very good news coming from the Prime Minister's address about the possibilities of their fashion being re-energized in Benue. Not to produce exactly what it is to produce, but looking at the vision. And page 9 of the Prime Minister's address explained to us all what is going to happen. Madam Speaker, we intend to take full advantage of the village tourism initiative outlined by the Prime Minister on page 12 of the budget address. Our civic dues, calls and bears will be transformed in a sustainable manner to complement our ongoing Saturday night seafood fiesta. We intend to collaborate with the National Trust, the Forestry Department, and other sexual related agencies in this regard. Madam Speaker, I believe that with the support and cooperation of the people of Benue, as well as my cabinet colleagues, we will take our people over troubled waters. Very quickly, Madam Speaker, youth. Madam Speaker, the youth and community involvement in social activities are critical to the well-being and harmonious relationship in any community. It is my sincere intention to continue my support for community activities, sports or otherwise, that will serve as a catalyst for our development. I wish to assure the young persons in particular that my constituency office is available to provide you with much assistance to find jobs or to honor or to advise your possible job-related opportunities and training. We are and will continue to be an island of stable of stability, sorry, in the sea of economic instability. Madam Speaker, I think it's round enough time now. Madam Speaker, let me now repeat. I mean, everything cannot be said, you know, about every little cove in the general area, but the people of Benue can see that we have a vision. And step by step, we will achieve the goals of the community and of the people. So let me quickly, Madam Speaker, repeat what I said at the consultation on the Labour Code. And this is called industrial matters. Madam Speaker, the enormity and complexity of the global forces confronting us has created realignment in the traditional roles and relationships of employers and workers. The accompanying redefinition of this line will perhaps produce some gray areas which will no doubt tap our leadership, which will no doubt tap our creativity, our resolve, our imagination and tenacity, all in terms of how we deal with the economic clouds and raging storms. The question that must be asked, therefore, is do we muddy the waters of consultation with pigmentation of narrow self-interest? Or do we instead embrace the concept of people-centered leadership guided by a common vision of reaching the true north? And don't aim for Kashmir's north. Such a direction will focus all our energies and passions in meeting the broad objectives of meaningful social partnership, open and honest dialogue in an effort of achieving a wonderful blend of labor management and national direction. It means you all don't know when you are going to be able to become the Prime Minister of this country. They know themselves. I'm not fighting for that part, though. Madam Speaker, we understand fully the underlying concerns of balancing shrinking profit margins, national revenue, and the security of employment. Therefore, the linkages between systems of employment, the highest mountain in the land, Honorable Prime Minister Stephenson King. Therefore, Madam Speaker, the linkages between systems of employment, encompassing education and training, the functioning of the labor market, the management of enterprises, must be handled in a mature and rational manner. And if you're in opposition, you have to listen to this. This is important. Madam Speaker, indeed, if we are to make any meaningful progress, our employment policy is one of the critical tools which will speak volumes about us as a forward-thinking people. Take note. So let us be united by the common thread of creating greater and better opportunities for our people, instead of being divided by ideology, persuasions of varying kinds, petty self-interest, or the flame of organizational resistance. Madam Speaker, I want to end with a quote. Madam Speaker, I want to remind us that it was the economist J.K. Gabri who said, and I quote, "It is the imperative of technology and not the images of ideology that determines true economic progress." Honorable Prime Minister, you are doing a fantastic job. Thank you so much, Madam Speaker.